Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 28, Episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for April 25th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. the state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The jack hits your eardrum like a slug to your chest. Woo! Courtesy of Osmodiar.
Pack a jack for your Jimmy in the city of sex.
No, you got it. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I remember when I lost my Miles. There was something so pleasant about that gray. Does that Miles be crazy? Does that Miles be crazy? Does that Miles be crazy? Possibly. Major chord is what would go there. Now, thank you to Dakota Jones, a.k.a. Dakota Jones on Twitter for that one, because you know I like to fucking sing, and I'm going to stop just doing one word, a.k.a. I just need verses to sing, because I'm a repressed singer. So thank you for that.
Oh, man, that was beautiful.
And also, I noticed how none of y'all fucking applauded, so.
I think it was too long. Like, if there would have been a moment, but I was like, I'll applaud, but not now. Because now it's entering.
Fair play to you, because when I was rehearsing this before we got in here, you were like, I didn't feel like it's long. So, I should have listened. Okay.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat. You've already heard from her. The hilarious comedian, Megan Gailey.
Hi.
What is up?
Were you married the last time I was here?
I've been married 10 years.
Oh, you've been married 10 years?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was like, because you have a ring, but it's on your
pinky.
It's
on my pinky, and it's brass, and it turns my finger green.
So then I was like, am I a part of some sort of optical illusion where all these men are wearing rings to like shame me? But
no.
That's like a real wedding band.
That is,
that's
like
a dad band.
That is a dad band, and you can tell I've got like the line under it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Like
that's good.
My finger is like all white and like withered underneath my wedding band. It's gross.
That's what we want.
Yeah, no, I know.
So when you take it off.
That's how you know
tell.
You're faithful.
Before I get into the house, my wife makes me show her that. She's like, let me see it.
Let me see. Good.
Let me see your white, withered finger. All right.
Good. Our love remains intact.
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, it's insane. We got married young. Megan, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
You know, I was really torn on this because the last time I did the show, I mentioned a product that I had been searching, and then they sent me all of this amazing
The
stuff.
Weird beards, James Harden beards.
Trolley, you are incredible. Like, I was just like, oh, wow, I think Trolley thinks I'm more important than I am.
wait, did that just happen because you talked and then they appeared?
Yeah.
Damn, so somebody's listening.
But they do have new James Harden sneakers. And so that's exciting. So the beards, this is like an embarrassing thing I had to Google last week. You guys heard me talking about couches. My Googles are just basically just couches right now.
Okay.
It's just places where white women bisectionals. but I had to look up when I was paying my taxes last week, which side of the envelope the stamp goes on.
Oh, whoa.
And I was like, because I knew, but I was just like so frazzled. And I was like, I just didn't trust myself with the IRS. Like if it was a letter going to like my great aunt.
Fuck it. You put
Zuzu,
the stamp on the inside.
Anywhere, it'll get to her. But I was like, have I been putting it on wrong the entire time? And then I was like, this is such a like, I guess when I think I'm not a millennial, I'm like, oh, I need to look back at this moment.
Right.
And be like, nope, this is it.
I didn't know how to even mail something IRL.
That's probably the thing I've Googled most in my life.
Is which side the stamp
where to
on?
Put the stamp and like where to put the return address. And I just always, I don't know, like there's something like dyslexic about me or something. I always have to Google that.
Wait,
but like
Megan,
see.
You second guessed yourself because of the stress of sending off the taxes, which is why you even entered that headspace. Or
I
you think
so.
From the beginning, you've always never quite been sure where it went.
I think it was the stress. I also, like I was in Chase Bank braless in a LeVar Ball custom hoodie.
I'm sorry. No.
Whoa.
A LeVar Ball custom hoodie?
That my friend made against everyone's will.
Wow.
Like, that the printing company was like, I don't think this is trademarked. She's like, oh, absolutely it's not. This is very illegal.
Yeah.
But I think LeVar would be happy. So it's the whole family reaching for a ball. And then the ball kind of has like Christ-like
like glow
coming
from
off of it.
Wow.
So it's the whole Ball family, but
it's all about LeVar, baby.
Right. That's, you know that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was just Tina, I would be happy. But once it's the whole crew, it's LeVar and Tina.
It's LeVar and Tina. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Back to that. You're in the Chase Bank. Mm-hmm. You're wearing the hoodie, mm-hmm. and then you just feel like, I don't know where the fucking stamp goes.
Mm-mm. And there was like an old man next to me, and I was
he was laughing.
Well, no, I was trying to hide it from him because I was like, I don't want him to know that I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, what are you Googling over
and
there?
And it's so funny. Like, I walked into the bank on tax day thinking it was gonna be popping. Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, where is everybody? And they were like, people do it before today. Yeah, like, right. This isn't,
you know, you don't
you
have to do
up.
It. On
also,
tax
you can
time.
Send that shit through the internet.
And then I was like, I needed to put it in the mail, and the mailbox, like the blue one by my apartment, had already been picked up. So I saw a mail truck, and I just sat outside waiting for him for like 15 minutes,
oh,
and then just handed it to him.
Well, you got it done.
He's my friend. I have always connected with mailmen. He's like my person, like the one from my building, and he's cool. I like him.
Nice. Yeah, the one, the mail carrier, I forget what her name is in my neighborhood. She literally seen me grow up. So like when I've moved out of the house and I come back, and she's like, oh my God, how are you? I'm like, wow, this doesn't happen these days.
No, I love mail people. I really do.
They're wonderful. They have great tans.
Yeah.
Like one side of the body mm-hmm. tans?
No, not like truck drivers.
Right.
Like legit, you know, those calves see the sun.
Right, right. Megan, what is something that's underrated?
I think this new season of American Idol is really good. Granted, I've stopped watching it because I don't agree with any of their decisions. Like, but if you're looking for something, the first round of auditions when they're like here and I don't know, they went to like Charleston. I was like, I don't know if you need to be here. It's really amazing. I mean, there were episodes where I was crying so hard I had to pause it, go in the bathroom, cry in a way that I wanted to actually, and then come back out and restart it again.
I'm sorry, you're watching alone?
With my boyfriend. That's why I would go in the bathroom, because he'd be like, are you okay?
Right.
And I'd be like, I'm fine. And then I'd get up and go in the bathroom and be like,
you're like, yeah.
he adopted his brother's baby. Like, right, there's just things that, wow. But it's really good. All the people that I loved are kind of gone, but there's like three left. I've been jumping back in via YouTube only now to watch the finals.
Just to watch the performances.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm going to vote. I've never voted. Voting seems like
divorced. In an election either, right?
Yeah, oh, no. I've voted in that. Also like you're divorced. But that seems like the demo of who's actually voting.
Divorced
but American
people.
Idol voting, I'm like, ooh, I don't. Is this too bleak to do? But
right.
I really like Maddie Pope. So I might have
What's
to
Maddie vote. Pope style?
Maddie Pope... is just like
powerhouse vocalist.
Maddie Pope is no. It's sort of like a I don't want to say like feist, but it's like a girl mm-hmm. with like an interesting voice. Not a Florence and the Machine, but sort of like there's some grit to
it. Yeah, yeah.
And then there's this guy Michael who's incredible, who I love, who actually works at the bowling alley right by my house.
Oh,
That's where they like did his like pre-shoot. And then there's this girl Katie who I do like. And then everyone else, I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
There's just so many country boys. This is the problem with it. You like watch it and you'll be like rooting for someone and then you're like, they voted for Trump. You know, like they're just right. They're too good down here. And then you're like, fuck. Oh, I can't root.
They're like, can I perform in this white polo shirt and khakis? No.
What's something you think is overrated?
Kombucha. Is that how you say it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Bubble tea. No. Oysters. Absolutely not.
Wait, what?
I don't like any of those.
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm like, bubble tea with
bubble
your kombucha?
Tea sucks.
But you don't like boba?
No, why you got those beads?
First of all,
like,
they're tapioca.
I don't like those.
And it's like, I don't know. I think I have an addiction to it just being Asian or something. I love fucking
you like
bubble.
Tapioca?
Oh, my God. I love that shit. Although, recently, though, I have started ordering shit without the boba in it.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I'm kind of like Trump in a way where if I like one part of something and I'm able to get it.
Yeah.
Then I'll do that.
Oh, so you don't like the bubble, the
well, sometimes,
oh,
no, the thing is, I like the flavor of like a taro milkshake so much, like the taro flavor, that sometimes I'm like, no, I just need to mainline the taro.
I think it tastes like sticks. All of it is just sticky, gross.
The flavored pearl ones are kind of wacky because that's just like.
Blah, blah, blah.
Both kombucha and oysters have felt to me like you're. Drinking/eating snot.
It's gross.
Like they have like a very snotty vibe.
Oh, oysters. Oh, come on, man. Yeah. You don't like oysters?
Mm-mm.
No, I do. I like them, but
I like a mussel.
I like snot, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm right. Into snot. Yeah. That's why you always ask me to put my boogers in that Tupperware.
Yeah. Just, but we saved the
Yeah, I love oysters. A kombucha, I don't really drink. Especially Gross. Once I started seeing it like in L.A. where people were doing like
on booch draft.
Cocktails and shit.
Yeah.
No, but Beach. The cocktail thing where they're like, yo, you want a booch in like Jameson? I was like, what the fuck are you? Nah, bro, this is too L.A. for me. Mm-mm. And I'm from here. But yeah, okay, I see that.
I don't like it.
Fine. What about oysters, though? What's the problem? Is the snot thing?
No, the thing with oysters, I wish I liked it, and I don't. Right. You know, it's like how I used to be this way with salmon. When I was a young girl, I was like, I think I should like salmon.
I was a young girl.
And then, now I do. And so, but like, I'll be at dinners, and people are like, let's get oysters, and I feel like a hillbilly that I don't want them. But it's,
right.
And then I also find oysters to be strange, because then people will be like, you know, it's an effort. Always saying that.
Right.
And it's like, this is like an Easter brunch. Like, why are you trying to sell it as like, now we're all gonna have sex with each other because you ate this weird thing?
Right. It you better eat up. It's an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
It's 11 a.m.
I like mussels, and I feel like they're like related somehow.
Well, they're not.
I know, but they seem like the same. Like if there was like a food family tree, they would be on a swing together.
They're not related?
Well, because they say that oysters have no central nervous system, which is why vegans have began to embrace oysters.
See, and that's a knock against them, too.
Yeah, right. And like, because they're like these entities that filter the water. They're like water filters.
No.
I'm eating them either way.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
I used to work at a retirement community, and I don't think old people are having as much sex as we think they are.
Wait, I'm sorry, that we think they are?
Yeah, whenever, I love old people, I, do a lot of things with old people. I volunteer. I didn't want to say I volunteer
These are
because then that sounds, rude. Listen, I'm a better person than everyone listening. I volunteer with the elderly population. But, I don't think they're getting down as much. Because people are like, that really high rate of STD. It's like, that's true.
So there was a big story, in the past decade that STDs were running rampant at retirement communities.
Wow. And it's true to some extent because there's so few men. Men die. So thankfully, finally something good happens at the end of life. All of the men perish. And so there'll be one man left. And then if he is having sex with multiple partners and gets an STD, it's the same way that it happens amongst young people, but then the men are dead.
Right. But it's a function of.
Yeah. But I don't think it's actually them just having sex all the time.
Mm.
So,
and in your experience being there, it didn't seem like there was a lot going on.
No, I mean, people were falling asleep at Eleanor Roosevelt talks, I don't see how those same people were getting it up that night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Are there social activities at night, wine tastings or something like
that? There is wine tasting, but it was all women.
That might be where it goes down.
It was all women. There were no men there because they're dead.
Well, then maybe your sample size is a little bit different because you were in the island that there were no men.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there was one man. He could still walk.
And he was the hottest dude.
He was a hot commodity. Yeah.
He can still walk.
Wife wasn't even passed yet, and people were bringing him lemon tarts.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's disrespect.
Mm-hmm. I thought so, too, but you could tell he'd never been cool ever in his life.
Right.
I was like, oh, my God, I'm the last one standing.
Should we bring up the conversation we've been having in the office of the past couple days?
That is a segue.
Pretty crazy. So we were having the conversation, how long do you think former President George H.W. Bush has now that Barbara Bush has passed? Because that's a thing that happens, right?
Yeah, with older couples.
One part of a couple passes and then the other member of the couple of the marriage dies. And we were having this conversation. And we might have taken an over-under on, how long he had.
He's also not in good health.
Right.
I think people were like, oh, he went first? Okay.
Right. She went, yeah. And then...
She went.
Right. So we have two, sort of sheets where our guesses are, 5 months, 4 months, 3 months. And then immediately, right as we finished having that conversation... We all got the news alert that he was going to the hospital.
Oh, no.
And so then we were
we ramped it up. Well, the thing was, really, the whole debate circled around a few points, right? Because it was really in the context of what happens with an elderly couple when one of them dies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Will they survive? And then, some people speculate that if George really loved her, then he would probably soon follow because he was so heartbroken. Then other people had theories that maybe he never loved her, that they had a purely sort of a business relationship, kind of thing. And he would probably live for a long time because he was never really depending on her, and that part of him is missing. And so really the debate started to center around, what was the real relationship like between the two? Did they love each other?
See, right. I think that they will probably, I mean, he may pass soon, and that would be sad. But I think that when you're in the public eye and being a president, you fall out of like what is normal, because like he has people caring for him all the time. It's not like he's just like
they literally took him to the best hospital in the country.
That's a really good point.
That like kind of changes, but I don't want any of them to die.
I just feel like war criminals just end up living for a long time.
No, exactly. Yeah. I think him and Dick Cheney will live forever.
Yeah, Dick Cheney's on his like seventh heart.
Yeah,
I think that H-Dub could outlive Trump.
I
think we like sort of forget that like he has to be in bad health.
Right. Yeah. But if it's a thing where the worse person you are, the longer you live, mm-hmm. then Trump is going to be the last human being
alive.
How old
is he? 70?
72, 71, I think.
Interesting. Men are very interesting.
He is 71 years old.
Because in like 6 weeks, he may look 100. It like happens. Like they just like, whoa, oh, you're old.
Oh, right.
You know, like
it's supposed to happen with presidents like immediately and like very precipitously.
It's
but
they're working.
Yeah, because they're working their ass off, which is not happening with him.
Yeah.
He's chilling.
Yeah, like Obama's like, oh, damn, I'm taking over after this economic shit. Okay. Yeah. And then he literally
looked like
that scene in Private Ryan.
It's like looking at a flip book.
Yeah. He's like where Matt Damon turns to the old man at the end of Saving Private Ryan. Yeah. That was like within the first 10 minutes of Obama being in office.
But Michelle had some stress and she looked better than ever.
Michelle's a different quality.
Yeah, that's
Michelle is an alien. All right. So wait, do you think that the reason that, you know, when one part of a couple passes, the other one follows soon after is because that person, like they're used to taking care of each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they sort of like fused together.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's like they have like, well, no, he used to clean the dust off the fan.
Right.
And like when that's gone, you're like, well, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of times when someone passes and the other one will then go and live in a retirement community, like pretty immediately. And sometimes it's the family making the decision, but it is like, oh, two people can kind of look after each other, even if they're both sort of old and in failing health, but one person can't.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
my grandma, when my grandfather passed away, we immediately brought her over from Japan. Mm-hmm. And we're like, just don't even begin to experience life without him. Mm-hmm. She came over, fucking lived to be like 101 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
She loved America.
Yeah. And I'm like, maybe she didn't love him. I don't know.
She's like, I love Disney.
Yeah. Eating a Trumpian diet.
Yeah.
You changed her environment enough, though.
Yeah, I think that's another thing, too, because if you're used to sort of the rhythm or the patterns mm-hmm. of your day-to-day and that included that person, yeah, like when that's disrupted in such a clear way, like I can see how that could just
I mean, they say that
break your heart.
After a divorce, like it's almost like suffering from brain damage because your mind is like sort of fused with the other person's mind, and like one person is like used to doing this part mm-hmm. of the task and the other person. So I'm sure the same thing happens like when one part of a couple dies. It's like, well, the person who did my thinking for this thing mm-hmm. is just gone.
I mean, love or not, they were together for many years. So we'll see.
It's probably like in between, because the romantic idea is like, he died from a broken heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it might just be like, he died
because
nobody
anything.
Cooked for him. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He died because he was worthless.
Right.
Not H. I mean, not who cares.
All right. We're trying to take a sample of the global and national shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now. And the thing that at least the city of Philadelphia is thinking about is that the Sixers moved on. They won their first round series with the Miami Heat, and it happened to coincide with Meek Mill getting out of prison.
Yeah.
Meek Mill just had like the greatest, most triumphant return to reality.
Best day to get out of jail.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Sixers owner like went and like picked him up. He got to the game. They let him ring the bell, which is like a thing that happens at the beginning of every game. The crowd's like going crazy for him. There's this video from like in the guts of the stadium. The acrobatic like cheerleader people are practicing doing flips off of a trampoline, and suddenly like out of nowhere, just Meek Mill runs up and does a fucking front flip and like totally sticks it.
Really?
Just sticks the shit out of it, and everyone's like, oh! Like people just went crazy.
Like, it's like, yeah, like, you finally get out on bail. You fucking go. You're doing flips. Yeah. And then your team wins to move on to the next round of the playoffs. Like, right. Ah, damn.
Yeah.
Got to go through a lot, though, too, to
this,
get there.
Yeah, exactly. This is a story we've been talking about for a while because the reason he was back in prison is some bullshit.
Yeah, because how this fucking loop of probation people can get stuck in after, you know, right. years after they've served out their time or done whatever they had to move on. Yeah, like, because basically Meek Mill was, like, on this never-ending probation for, like, a decade
yeah.
from one thing.
What's everybody going to do with their free Meek Mill Eagles jerseys now? Frame them? Like, is that going to go in a man cave?
Yeah, right. exactly.
I saw some. I went to the Super Bowl this year. I don't know if that was before or after. I did.
Wow.
My boyfriend works for the NFL.
Oh, wow.
You couldn't have rolled your eyes harder.
You rolled your eyes.
I know. Well, because he had,
I think you might have just sprained your eyeballs.
He left today to go to the draft, and I just miss him.
He works for the NFL Network? Or?
No, he works for the league.
The league.
Yeah,
Oh my God. Are you dating Roger Goodell?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I almost said I wish.
Don't drag that out like that.
Sorry.
I wish, but just for the, like, plane.
Right.
And I saw, like, a young, probably, like, 15-year-old white boy sell a free Meek Mill jersey for, like, 400 cash to a guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's called entrepreneur.
I know.
Yeah, seriously.
Know your market.
So, in other rapper news, Kanye is continuing to just tweet crazy shit.
Fired his manager? That's
bad. He fired Scooter Braun, who
not just
was
anyone.
His manager. He's also, like, the crazy person, crazy talent whisperer. Mm-hmm. Like, he got Justin Bieber back from the brink when he was like...
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, there was a while where he was like one of the few people Bieber would listen to. I remember when I used to work at Power 106, Justin Bieber was supposed to come in to do an interview. Dude got so high.
Oh.
He just like literally called 10 minutes before he was supposed to be there. Like, or Scooter Braun called the station and was like, I'm sorry, dude. This dude was asleep.
That's what he said.
He was like, can we do this tomorrow?
Right.
And he was like, I promise, like, I'm going to get him there. The next day, like, he didn't come. And then the third day, like, Scooter Braun basically dragged him in by the scruff of the neck.
Right.
And this was, like, at his peak, like, I'm not making music, Justin Bieber. Yeah. Like, I'm just discovering weed now, Bieber kind of vibe. And it was amazing, though, because he brought him in and was like, you could tell that this was, like, one of the few people, despite Justin being on his own schedule, Scooter Braun was like, no, you're fucking going to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he went. Because they listen, and I think he understands a lot of these artists. But yeah, Kanye axing him, it's like, reminds me of Trump getting rid of the adults.
Can someone explain, does the Twitter breakdown seem, I mean, is it a breakdown, or is he just like, I'm back on Twitter, and this is how I've been behaving,
well,
and I just wasn't
I guess
here.
You can look at it a couple ways. It could be that he has come out as being like a Trumpian alt-right, like similar thinking.
That's what's going on?
Yeah, like he was like shouting out people who are like, aligned with the alt-right, basically.
Oh, God.
And then he tweeted recently, like, I love Trump, right?
Yeah, he was like, I don't care what y'all give me to say. I'll always love him. We have dragon energy,
Dragon energy. It's like, the same thing. We were talking about this yesterday. It's like this sort of idea of, like, we see through the matrix because they're sociopaths and they treat other people like objects and they think that makes them like some next-level humans
and that makes us
just
sheeple.
Like, mentally ill.
Yeah.
But Kim, I mean, for all of her drawbacks, is very politically, vocally against Trump. Like, you know, was always
she should
like
check her husband's Twitter account.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think his tweet talking about Trump was like, my wife just called me and like told me to say that I'm not for Trump, but I do love him. I will always love him.
Okay.
It's just like, oh, all right.
I wonder if this means the beginning of the end for them too. Does anyone think that? I mean, are there theories that like.
They have been saying that for a while, according to Bloid Watch, when we do that. I feel like their stories have never been about how everything is going well between Kanye and Kim. It's like he's not really around.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting better or they're staying away from each other. Who knows? But anyway, it's just I think it's more. I mean, today he's just tweeting shit like decentralize. I'm nice at ping pong. Okay. I need to meet Larry from Google. Like. Okay, my man, this book is looking amazing.
Yeah, this book
by
is
the way.
Gonna be
this is a Pulitzer
so
Prize winning book.
And there were rumors over the weekend that he was addicted to opioids or that he said nobody was there for me when I was addicted to opioids and that's why he was hospitalized or, you know, had to cut that tour short, which would mean that he doesn't get like I guess he had insurance for the rest of the tour in case something happened, right. Which, you know, it was sort of a medical condition that cut the tour short, so he got a bunch of his money back. But now that company who paid for that is basically saying, if it was a drug thing, then you don't get it.
Well, insurance companies aren't really known for being the kind.
Yeah, I know. I will always side with Kanye over the insurance
companies. They were always looking for reasons like, oh. Yeah. And also, right. Who knows what, I mean, I don't think he even knows what he's saying.
Yeah. And then we just wanted to check in with, there was a special election in Arizona last night, two
yep.
nights ago.
Last night.
Arizona, you know, is deep red country.
It's starting to turn purple a little bit. Yes, it's changing. So I guess in this district,
don't even mean politically. You go there and you're like, oh, everybody wanted to have plastic surgery, but like the science wasn't here yet, and everyone just has fucked up faces.
Holy
and then you're like, okay,
shit.
Well, I guess I'll tell science. Jokes to these kooky town people.
Kooky town.
The science wasn't there yet. Wow, scathing review of the medical board in Arizona. So yeah. This district that was up for grabs yesterday went between Debbie Lesko and this other woman, Harold Tepperneni. And so Debbie Lesko won, and she has now just said, oh, I'm going to be joining the Freedom Caucus, which shouldn't be a surprise because this district is just deep Trump country. Like, he won the district by 21 points. They love Joe Arpaio there. Like, this was never going to be won by the Democrats. So everyone was saying, look, if the Democrats somehow win, holy shit. But really what you need to look at is what the margin of victory is between these two candidates. And we find last reporting on it is that Debbie Lesko was only winning by about 6%. So that means they lost about 15 points on the Democrats in this election, which is not a good sign at all, because the Republicans even had to spend like over $1 million in this race to try and keep it competitive. So again, yes, Republican won the special election. But if you look at everything, I mean, it's, you know, it's starting to follow this well-established trend that the GOP brand has not done well since Trump took office when you look at all these special elections that have been, you know, flipped.
I think if you're anti-GOP, this is almost a good thing because they're not as panicky. They're not thinking it's as big a deal, the coming Democratic wave. They're like, okay, so we won that. So it's not.
Yeah,
like,
well, I think
Democrats
they're saying that out loud.
Won, if Democrats had won, that would have been like,
that would have,
shit.
Yeah, that would have been off. But again, they're not dumb. I mean, they're strategists on both sides. Anyone who's looking at it knows that that's not a good result, like especially for something that's such typically solid red.
I can't imagine voting for someone named Debbie. It's like, at any point, we're like, oh, maybe I should go by Deborah.
Right.
Right.
You know? What if I was like, hey, guys, I'm running for Senate in Indiana as Maggie.
Maggie.
Right. So vote for Maggie Gales.
Maggie Gailey.
Like, it's so embarrassing.
That's a all name, right. Miss Debbie.
We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And we're back. And I do just want to stand up for, I've been to a cool small town in Arizona called Jerome, Arizona.
Of course. Tucson. Yes. I'm with you.
Right.
Some other
Sedona.
Place.
Sedona.
Sedona is interesting. Flagstaff.
Yeah. We were more talking about.
We're talking Phoenix, Scottsdale.
There you go.
And not even the Suns. We're with you too.
Wow. Big Kevin Johnson fan?
Yeah.
Sure.
So
bad mayor though.
You're an NBA fan. You've
yeah,
talked
I'm a Pacers
about James
fan.
Harden's beard and other NBA references. So you're following the Pacers, mm-hmm. this exciting time. They're playing
yeah,
better than anyone thought they would.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all thought that this series would go this way. I mean,
yeah.
The season
for
definitely
sure.
outperformed during the season, but this series is not a surprise. I was like going into it being like, yeah, I very much think that they could win. I think it's a really bad matchup for the Cavs. I do think since we lost that last game, it's going to be tough, though. I think,
yes.
Like, when we were up,
yeah.
it was like, oh, it felt even, and now that we're even, it feels like we're down.
Yeah, right. The momentum. Momentum's a very powerful
but
thing.
I think Vic is due for a big game. I really do.
Vicky. And
my angel. I love him.
Victor Oladipo, who went from being, like, sort of an also-ran in a trade last year for Paul George, that people were like, wow, they got robbed.
Yeah.
The Pacers got robbed. And then suddenly he was just a all-NBA, like, all-star this season.
And I never agreed with the fact that we got robbed. People in Indy really, like, boo Paul George. And it's like, No, he was going to leave. And so he left in a way that we were able to get something.
Yes, yeah,
and maybe you guys are too dumb to realize that, or you hate black people too much to like overcome that we actually ended up with a good trade.
That's my difficulty with Indiana.
Yeah. But,
Indiana's
and, oh,
a
it's
tough,
so, it's
tough
so
state.
Lance Stevenson can't play anywhere else. Everywhere else hates him. And then he comes to Indiana, the home of the KKK, and is the biggest star. And you're like, okay, I mean, I wish you guys could have this for just people you see on the street, too. Right. But...
Mm. All right.
Take what you can get.
That's an important thing to know because, Maggie, you are running for governor of Indiana. So that's...
Exactly.
Maggie.
All right. We have a little bit more on the Toronto attack. So, you know, like we said, racists on Twitter were quick to call the attacker a terrorist and a jihadist. And then
have a debate over whether if an Armenian person, like what Manassian the last name meant, and whether or not that's qualifies as a white person.
And Tucker Carlson was like, how could you say that he's not a jihadist already? Like, and he wanted to leave it open to this being about terrorism. So we do now know that it essentially was about terrorism, but it wasn't for the thing that they like to be afraid of. It was about a guy who is involuntary celibate, who hates women because they won't have sex with him.
Oh,
have you heard of the incel community?
If you're celibate, doesn't that mean you're choosing that?
Well, see, there's volcels, there's voluntary celibacy, and then there's incels, which are involuntary celibacy. And those people look at the world as, why don't women want to fuck me? That's why I'm celibate, because I'm fuckable. And fuck these people, fuck these alpha males who get the women or whatever, and they're just angry at just essentially women for not having sex with them.
I mean, I've just seen some of the saddest men get laid, though. You know, it's like, I just don't know. I don't think you're...
Well,
like,
this is,
I don't know
well,
if you're...
It's
in
just,
Canada? Come on, honey. Get out there.
You know, I mean, like, there are groups on, like, 4chan or Reddit
that
all
women.
Deal with this stuff. Yeah, and it's
very...
sort of this... He even posted on Facebook, which was now like a lot of people were saying it could have been a hoax or whatever, that he was basically talking about how the incel rebellion has already begun. And a lot of the way these people are talking about in the community, they all worship that guy, Elliot Rodger, at UCSB.
Praising this guy who did the truck attack and Elliot Rodger, who shot up UCSB and a bunch of sororities that had pretty women in him, as St. Rogers and St. Menagian. And before he went on this rampage, like 10 minutes before, this guy tweeted, "The incel rebellion has already begun. We will overthrow all Chads and Stacys." Chad is their word for like good looking guys who have sex, and Stacys are good looking women who won't have sex with them. And then they said, "All hail the supreme gentleman, Elliot Rodger." So these are they're
deeply disturbed people.
Deeply disturbed, and also using all the language of terrorism. Like, you know, they're saying, spread his name, speak of his sacrifice for our cause, worship him, for he gave his life for our future. That's being posted on incel boards today. Like, you're telling me that if that was about, ISIS or Al-Qaeda, like in the aftermath of a terror attack, that people would not be freaking out and like banging that person's door down. But they're just, I think because they're mostly white kids and because it's sort of a pathetic thing. Granted, most terrorists are part of an incel community, whether they admit it or not. Like a lot of terrorists, terrorism organizations recruit young men who are sexually frustrated. But the fact that these people define themselves by that, and I think maybe makes them less threatening.
Well, yeah, and the whole rebellion is meant to basically say if we act out our frustrations in the real world, people will eventually begin to see our plight. Like they have this talk of like their struggle. And
I think they're going to have a tough time keeping members. I mean, I think we need to take them seriously, especially if they're doing such horrible, violent things. But it's like, you know, ISIS is recruiting based on like how like America's
ideology,
terrible. And like this is like, oh, if you get fucked one day, sorry, boo, you're out. Like, Lee, you know, I'm sure some of them are fucking. That's what's annoying. It's like, I mean, it's a bit bigger than annoying, obviously, but it's like, go away. Just go away.
Yes. Well, it's just this, like there a lot of these people, you know, like they come out of sort of like the pickup artist world and shit like that, where it's all about sort of looking at women as like non-human, like sort of cogs in a machine that if you manipulate properly, you can get it to work the way you want to. it's hard to say that this thing isn't a movement, although the people, they talk like on posts like, well, we're not a movement. You clearly are. Like, they're contradicting posts from other people saying, like, this is a movement.
And
these are
smart?
Struggles. And this is, people are clearly articulate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you can say someone is smart who chooses to blame their, like, lack of sexual partners on just the opposite sex. That doesn't strike me as a sign of intelligence.
But then also hot men, too. Or what they deem. I would love to be like, what do you think is a hot man? I'd right. love to see their opinion of a Chad.
Well, Chad is like a, you know, like a built dude with a strong chin.
Yeah, no, right. I don't want to fuck him. You know, it's like, okay, we both don't like Chad. Okay,
right,
can we find some common ground there?
Obviously, women want to have sex with a bodybuilder,
yeah.
right? But yeah, they say the path to radicalization for them starts with the pickup artist community. They try to use the, you know, pseudo-scientific dehumanizing seduction techniques. And when that doesn't work, they just get so angry. That's
right.
how Elliot Rodger went down. Before he went on his shooting spree, he was venting about the pickup artist community and how they had failed him. So.
Right. Well, because the way that shit works, it really is... Like, when it began, it was like, hey, you don't know how to talk to women. It's because you don't talk to them. You got to do this sequence of sentences,
yeah.
and then they'll be so hypnotized that they're going to fuck. And right. so when people sell somebody on that, these people really hang on that and think that is really going to change their life. And it's just such a fucking problem, and it's such a problem with, like, masculinity.
It's flawed from the get-go because they don't see women as human beings.
Right.
Like, there isn't a formula to talk to all men,
yeah.
all women, all dog, like they're just, even the fucking dog whisperer doesn't work sometimes. You know,
right.
like we're human beings. You talk to us.
Right.
It's just like we're being killed. If we fuck people, we're being killed that we don't fuck. It's just like, what?
Right.
It makes me afraid that they will like go on apps and like we'll seek out victims in that way.
Well, that's the other thing that people are concerned about, because I know like on a couple write ups, people were sort of looking on these boards and they do regularly talk about how to get away with like assaulting somebody or like, you know, rape or whatever. And that's why, again, if you have a message board where people are like praising the acts of Osama bin Laden or other people, that you would say, okay, hold on. Like, what's the energy going on over here? And what,
right.
like, where are they trying to go? But it's clear that this is not the only attack of somebody who had a similar motive about like this sort of anger at the
mm-hmm.
world and society at large for their lack of
yeah.
sexual connection.
Yeah, because you look at like the Charlottesville crew and you're like, well, they're not fucking either. You know, like
right.
a lot, none of these people are fucking.
Right.
right.
I mean,
they've
and if
just,
they are, it's not great.
Right.
So
they've just focused their anger
yes,
in one direction.
Being up front.
Right. I'd say the same thing's true of the 9/11 hijackers. They probably weren't having tons of sex, which is why you could convince them to fly a plane into a building and say, because once you do that, you'll be able to have sex with women in heaven or whatever.
I think that's probably the next evolution of this conversation is now talking about these communities and really having to look at them through like the lens of law enforcement. And
yeah.
Like, if their aim as a community is to get people scared or to fall in line or be like, hey, these people who are involuntarily celibate, we are victims and you need to hear us or we will get our message out by taking lives. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's every terrorist organization, and now we have two mass murders that were basically motivated by this ideology, so it seems like we should be taking them fairly seriously, but I doubt that's going to happen. So we also wanted to take a look at Sean Hannity and his real estate empire.
Right.
So it came out that he basically owns 870 homes in 7 states.
What?
Yeah.
Which, you know, he had talked about how Michael Cohen helped him with real estate stuff, and you assumed it was like, yeah, hey, could you look at this contract with my landlord
right.
for me or something like that?
Hey, the foundation might have a crack in it. Should
right.
I go through with this?
So he's bought like entire like condo buildings.
Well, yeah. So the thing is, in The Guardian, there was this report that showed that he basically is in control of these shell companies that have spent at least $90 million
mm-hmm.
on like properties that are mostly distressed homes, like, you know, homes mm-hmm. that were about to be foreclosed on, and was just like mass purchasing them. I think he has two condos that actually have agreements with HUD, with the Housing and Urban Development Department, which also makes it weird when you have Ben Carson on your show and you're praising him
yeah.
but not disclosing. It's like,
right.
I also have some buildings that, you know.
Is Fox News trying to get in that HGTV business?
Yeah, right.
Hannity's going to be flip or flop?
Right. He
flip
I mean,
or flog.
So you had Ben Carson on. What did he talk to him about?
They're just it was just kind of oh how great of a job you're doing. Just like you know, right. It was just like a softball thing, like just making him look
good
really good
publicity
great.
For the housing and
when,
the urban
when,
development.
Exactly
office.
When Ben Carson is fucking up in an insane amount,
right?
And then but also. Then we find out that not necessarily that Ben Carson, like you know, put these new regulations into effect. That the same buildings that Hannity owns, like they're part of a program that in 2019, like you know, they will be allowed to turn it from like subsidized housing units into condominiums that they can just package and sell on their own. So before it was like, okay, well look, we'll give you these loans, we'll subsidize the housing if you're allowing people to stay there because they need like cheaper housing. But then they're saying, but. Look, just wait a couple years, and then you can flip the building, sell
right.
for condominiums,
kick everybody
and
out.
Then nobody has to live there, and then they can figure it out on their own.
So the we in that instance is HUD.
We
They're
is
like,
HUD.
We will help finance this so that we have cheap housing, and then, yeah.
But that's not necessarily the entire game of HUD, but like that's a
no,
thing
no, yeah.
to
no,
just
they're
take.
They're supposed to be good.
Yeah, they're right. supposed to be good. They're trying
they're
to.
They're supposed to be on our side.
That's what kind of makes it more infuriating when Sean Hannity goes up there and is just that disingenuous.
Right, and is talking about how great Ben Carson is at his job when, yeah, like you said, the HUD is supposed to be the good guys who are helping poor people who like need places to live. And instead, even this morning, there was a news alert that he was suggesting that they raise the rent in subsidized housing and
right.
make people like get jobs in order to live in places. So basically his read on the situation is, well, these poor people are just too lazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's how all conservatives
yeah.
think, though. Like
yeah.
everything is
they
a hand
weed.
Up.
Yeah, like,
just smoke weed and fuck and make 900 babies.
So, I mean, he is part of this huge trend, which all comes from the financial crisis in 07, 08, where, you know, lots of people lost their homes. Their homes were foreclosed on. And Wall Street just bought up all of these houses
yeah.
and then started renting them out to people for, you know, hiked up rents. So a lot of people in Wall Street are making money off of these home foreclosures that they caused in the first place, but they see a financial crisis as an opportunity to make more money off of people who are in crisis.
Everyone has, I don't even know who I'm meaning when I say everyone, but like I've heard from multiple people in the real estate world, they're like, another crash is coming. And I'm like, no, I thought that you had to put down 20% and they're
right.
like, oh, no. Like, it's coming. Like, if you want to buy a house, wait 3 years because it's bottoming out again. And it's I don't know if it's going to be as bad as 07 and 08.
Yeah.
But like a new wave of it. Like prices in New York have already started to drop. And that's like a indication of like, oh, fuck, it's going to happen.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing with these companies, like especially, you know, Blackstone is like this huge private equity company. That they're like one of the biggest offenders, like of this sort
not
of
a good
trend.
Name.
Yeah,
sounds
well, it's
mean.
It's, yeah, it sounds like a fucking as J.M.
Yeah, like
McNabb
a
says, a Harry Potter bad guy.
Yeah,
right. Blackstone.
Yeah, these companies, they're kind of like, hey, look, looking at Wall Street, be like, we have an opportunity to just buy all these houses that are like going on the cheap. And in some cases, like someone that Hannity was in business when he went to jail for like artificially tanking prices at these auctions to be able to buy them at lower prices, who like once those houses are bought, that's money that probably could have gone to the homeowner
exactly.
to pay back their debt. But anyway, and that guy went to jail. But that's aside the point. The thing
that's
is
the sort of thing that's happening
yeah.
is they're taking these foreclosed on homes and basically buying them up cheap and taking away these assets from the people who were victimized by the financial crisis. So Sean Hannity is like the guy behind the guy behind the guy, like making shitloads of money off of the people who watch his show
right.
and are like, there's a normal everyday American right there.
Yeah,
that
meanwhile,
Sean Hannity, he's making money off of you and putting you out of your fucking home.
Or even just saying, oh, you know, look at the home ownership is going down. Obama, look at these foreclosure rates. And it's like, my man, you are the destroyer. You are the same person who is taking advantage of this situation.
Yeah,
too.
I feel like there is sort of this dialogue of like homeownership is going down because our generation is like bad. Like we've ruined chain restaurants. It's like, okay,
yeah.
we don't want to do. It's like, yes, we are afraid to buy home. That wasn't our fault. We were young kids. We were just like in high school, college, and buying a home became this catastrophic, terrible thing. So yeah, now we don't want to buy a home. Well, and there will be people that are forever renters. And guess what? We didn't fucking make that happen. You guys did. Right.
And right. Also, the fact is that wages don't really match. Younger people aren't making the kind of money you even need to begin thinking about buying a home. Right. Depending on where you, if you live in a huge urban center. I mean, clearly there are other places where it is more achievable. But like, for example, California and New York. I mean, you can't.
D.C., Chicago.
Owning in the city. Yeah, it's every, yeah, big cities, it's a huge thing. And, you know, when they look at, well, like when a lot of these houses went to auction, when they're being foreclosed on, you know, you'd have people who were trying to buy a house, like maybe first-time homeowners mm-hmm. who, you know, like maybe are people of color who traditionally had a really hard time buying a home. You have these Wall Street people come in with cash up yeah. front and go, we'll buy this shit for cash right now.
Yeah.
And that's already puts people who are traditionally trying to buy a home at a tremendous disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So when they buy up all these houses, they amass this like massive revenue stream of just renters. And then they've also started selling the bonds of taking all the rent that's being right. paid and selling that off too.
Right. They
and
that's, package that into a bond, which I guess is more sort of predictable than the... you know,
right.
mortgage that they had before, like all those shitty mortgages they had before. But, you know, when you have a home that is essentially owned and like tied up in a Wall Street bond, like your landlord does not give a fuck about you. Like they are not yeah. in it to help you out. And like there are all these horror stories of people who, you know, have who are paying rent for these houses that are owned by giant private equity firms who like there will be a crack in their ceiling and they'll be like, it's getting worse, guys. Nobody's been by to look at it. And then their fucking ceiling caves in.
Right.
Or like one where there was like water squirting through a light fixture.
Yeah. So it
just seems dangerous.
A live wire with water shooting out. Yeah. That sounds yeah. fine. And then you try and call your landlord, like, sorry, look, we're way too massive to look at the actual renters. And that's a problem too, because if the renters are not satisfied, they will leave. And now that is going to affect the rent that's being paid on those properties. Like part of those bonds being healthy too is that you can keep people actually in those units or in those homes. And if they're not doing that, that's why a lot of critics are saying like, if you can't even keep people happy or safe in their homes, how do you expect to maintain and not have super high turnover without a real plan to address that?
Maybe we all got to stay in like on a Tuesday and rewatch The Big Short.
Right.
Because it's like that just came out. Well, yeah, how are we already? I mean, I haven't seen it. I've fallen asleep three different times trying to watch it on a plane.
Really focus.
It's a tough plane movie, but it's like, I think it's about this.
Yes.
I think we need to like, I think we need to regroup happened. Because if this happens again, that's going to be pretty embarrassing.
Right. And yeah. like, and one of the reports, they say that like, you know, the difference with these sort of other, these bonds that they're selling now is like, you know, when banks will repossess a mortgaged home as collateral, there's at least the assumption that the homeowner has probably defaulted on the mortgage and then it makes sense for this person to be, you know, to be ousted or evicted from their home. Whereas like in these bonds, like if a bond blows up, so many families are tied up in them. Like one bond melting down could lead to a ton of evictions, mm-hmm. just even if you never were late on your payments. So it's just a very weird situation. I think what, you know, obviously it's not that Sean Hannity is exactly this company, but he's employing the sort of same sort of tactics and he saw the same lucrative opportunity to do this. And people need to be aware that this company, Blackstone, I think they own up to like 80,000 single family homes.
Yeah.
That's a fucking racket. You know yeah. what I mean? And people don't realize that, wow, like even the housing market created a new corporate overlord for your rent. It's like they had their eyes on this shit from the start. They're like, hey, well, look, the market will bottom out and we can just jump in with cash and buy up massive amounts of properties at once.
President Trump has even said before he was president, he said he sort of hoped for a housing market crash. So, quote, people like me will go in and buy like crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Yeah, so we're going to hit a couple quick stories on our way out here. Federal judge has said that this administration's attempt to sunset DACA is actually, like, they never gave a reason for it. And he's like, no, you can't just do that without explaining why you want to do that, yeah. essentially.
So it's a crucial blow because essentially they're saying, well, now you got to accept new applications and renewal applications, and it kind of helps bring the program back to how it was during the Obama administration.
I just thought about, like, When they get news, do you think that, you know, remember like the Staples button? Do you think they have a button that's like, oh man, like they're
what
just like, they're always like, no, you guys, you can't do that.
Right,
and
right.
then they go back and they're like, but, and they're like, no, you right. can't.
They're like, I'm sorry, what was your reason? They're like, well, someone might have sued and that would end it. So we're like, fuck it. And the judge is like, excuse me?
I just feel like every workplace that I've ever been or like in has some sort of like fun gag. You guys have that Jersey Shore. Does the Trump White House have any fun levity? Is there like Taco Tuesday?
No, they all vape. There's an office in the
That's where the deadbeats are.
Yeah,
they
the dead
vape.
There's an actual office of deadbeats in like the cool. nepotism hell. Okay. There's like a bunch of kids vaping.
Mooch comes like once a week.
Yeah, he's like, and they're like, how'd you get in here? He's like, they can't kill me, baby.
Right.
So there's a vape room. Cool.
Yeah.
That tracks.
Yeah, of course.
That feels 100%. On brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so supermarkets are kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Maybe. Potentially.
I mean, there's like this like industry article where basically they were urging like grocery store operators to be like, look, we get that young people don't cook anymore. They've used things like Instacart and Postmates and Amazon. So
and
people
Blue Apron.
Yeah, Blue Apron. They're younger people aren't going to grocery stores, but they love restaurants. And they're like, why? Because they gram their food. So right. their logic now to other supermarket operators is like, man, just make your store more grammable, baby. You know what I mean? Mm. Let that boar's head turkey, that Sausalito turkey, mm-hmm. why don't we make a little a carving out of that or something? Anyway, it's crazy that their idea, because these people are so old and out of ideas, that they think it's the lack of social media sexiness that is contributing to it.
You're thinking turkey sculptures is the way to do that?
I mean, look, if I saw... You know, give away. You know what they should do is like it should be free groceries at a set time.
Like
you go on
hour.
Twitter where yeah. it's like, yo, the first 10 people to get in here right now getting free groceries.
Right
now you got people going to the store.
I just love grocery stores. Like I love them. I love
I
being
too.
There. I love the shelves and the aisles. I have a bagger friend.
Like, bagger Vance.
That's my crew.
Yeah.
Which Ralph's?
The Ralph's
on Vineland?
On Ventura. And cold water. And I tweet everyone that works there is so lovely, so helpful, amazing. I've tweeted at them multiple times.
Oh,
Just to be like, I love everybody.
Love what you're doing.
And not even a favorite. They don't even, they don't care about me at all. And I'm like, Ralphs, I just want to tell you you're doing good work.
You know what's so funny? They're in another industry thing, they were pointing to the fact that like, you know, a lot of these stores have like social media accounts, but only like a small number of people actually follow them. So maybe that's another thing to look into. Maybe they should be interacting with their hardcore customers like you.
I would love it.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I sing their praises.
That's what's going to be sending you stuff after
I hope
this
so.
Episode.
Please.
Ralph's. Yeah, Ralph's now.
And those flips that are pretzels on one side, cracker on the other, I'll take
Holy
it.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
I love
wonderful.
Those.
I guess, is the supermarket going to go away?
You know, I hope not. I would be really
It's weird
because
it is the one.
It's trending away, right?
When you hear people come to America for the first time, it is the one thing that they're just like, this doesn't exist
right.
anywhere else. It's just like the most beautiful thing to like see all like that you can have like 20 different types of chocolate chip cookies
right.
like in a thing like
and,
yeah
and like Trader Joe's isn't gonna go away anytime soon, you know, like
yeah,
those places
right.
are packed
right.
That's like
I guess it's like the Krogers of the world that are trying to be like
yeah.
how do we make this Kroger poppin'?
Well, I've noticed that the Ralph's by my house now has both a sushi bar in it and like
a wine bar or something.
Yeah, a wine
yeah.
bar
yeah.
Like super upscale like beer bar in it for like people to, you know, hang out and drink next to the fucking produce aisle, which is weird. But I think that's the idea, is that you make it this sort of upscale experience.
Mm-mm. I don't
yeah.
need that. I don't
yeah.
care for that.
I also, nobody's ever.
I would.
No, yeah,
you know like, what I would do? I would go to a supermarket where all the shit was like meticulously placed, like someone with OCD arranged it, and like just to be like, damn, this motherfucker is perfect. That would appeal to me. And also, you know, old stand-up joke, but the fucking shopping carts, they still don't work.
Yeah, the shopping carts are gross. And they're also, like, you might as well be wheeling around a trash dumpster because, like, they're never cleaned.
No.
So
that's why I was, when they started putting those, like, hand wipe stations at the grocery store, I was like, that's right. They even acknowledged that you are walking into a petri dish of fucking bacteria.
My brother is a realtor, and he, like, took out an ad on a supermarket hand wipe station.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is smart.
That's where.
Yeah.
But I love a salad bar. Ooh. eat.
Yeah.
Any restaurant wants one, but a supermarket definitely. And do they make me sick? Sometimes. I just love them.
Do they make me sick sometimes?
But I'm back there.
Right. Man, you said it with such a genuine smile. It's insane.
I don't even care. I love it.
Yeah, whatever. I love Crab Louie.
Yeah, it's like pooping after Taco Bell. You're like, I still like it.
Right.
I'm still having problems, but I love
right.
it.
Yeah.
Makes me sick, but only for 3 days.
Oh, no.
The it's a good clearing the system.
Yeah. This makes me think of, so there was this article recently. I don't remember what publication it was, but they said that supermarkets were the new place where people met others. Like they're
wow,
the new
you've been married
bars.
So long, you didn't even know how to describe a place where people hook up.
Yeah,
a hookup spot.
Hookup spot.
Okay.
Which I don't think that's true necessarily. I've never seen people like start talking to each other at a supermarket who weren't already there together. And so I was like, when I read that article, I was like, wait, why? Who's writing this? Like, this is such bullshit. And I think it's probably whoever is behind this like marketing push to like save supermarkets and make them grammable probably like pitched that story or sent out a, you know, press release that was like, you know, like supermarkets or they did like some sort of small bullshit study with like a zero sample size.
Or someone was like, we met at your store. Now we're married.
Right.
And they're like, let's capitalize on that.
I think in LA that very much could be true. But I don't really, and I've been to a lot of supermarkets in a lot of different markets, and I just don't see that being true. But here, people like look good, especially during pilot season. Oh my God.
Right.
You'll go in and be like, this bitch has heels on. And like, wow, everybody is just...
And meanwhile, you're in your LeVar Ball hoodie.
Hot to trot titties out.
Right, right.
And I'm like, get it. Okay, cool. I got to be doing that.
When I go to a supermarket, I'm so like in a zone and probably just like faded that I'm already not really trying to talk to people. Like, I like the supermarket because I just like to see everything and
right.
smell the...
Not interacting.
Yeah, not. Yeah. It's not the interactive part of it that appeals to me. And also, I just feel like, how could you even begin a conversation? I mean, if you're a pickup artist, they would be like, neg the shit out of the woman's cereal choice and then follow up with your name. Like, oh, you be fucking Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That's dumb. I'm Jeff.
Right.
Maybe
and
like
I'm not
line.
Fucking? Yeah.
Maybe when you're in line or something. But yeah,
right.
I don't see. I feel like airports, people fuck there. People like are ready to like find affairs.
People
at
fuck
airport.
There or are they like
meet
they there?
Like both, I think. I think they establish it, but then also. Oh my God, they're kissing in the produce
Super
aisle.
Producer Anna Hosni is showing us an article from the Wall Street Journal, and like the cover photo is just people making out in front of
but
while she's holding a bell pepper.
People.
That's a fucking stock photo.
Yeah. Those are not two people who met at the supermarket.
Yeah, people who are making out.
It looks
out-
like a middle-aged married couple like kissing each other on the cheek.
But
and they're
maybe
like,
they met
see,
there.
This is the new hookup. And the headline on the article is, the hottest social scene in town isn't the singles bar, it's the supermarket.
Well, a singles
That's
bar
from the
isn't
Wall Street Journal, too.
Yeah.
Who someone was like, no, hey, man, our stock is crumbling. Can you even lie slightly? They're like, yeah, we're the Wall Street Journal.
I think I see a lot of videos of old people meeting young people. At the super, you know,
right.
like little kids hugging old people.
Right.
I think
right.
that type of interaction
Wait,
is
yeah.
going on. Like there was like a girl who just was like waving at everybody
oh.
and being like, I love you. Or like, and this old man had just been going through a tough time. I watch every single video about old people. And they like created this beautiful friendship. I will like send it to you. It is so amazing. His wife had died and he had just been like kind of a hermit grump and then met this like 4-year-old girl and she changed his life. And they met at a supermarket.
Wow.
But her mom was with her.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and like,
right. I was like,
weird.
I was confused.
No, it was sweet.
To,
yeah, he's that the youthful exuberance made him believe again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love taking my son food shopping.
You have a son?
Yeah.
Two. I got two.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. He added one since the last time you were.
You should try and get them a supermarket friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're out there. We're putting it out there. Yeah. And these old people just aren't picking it up. But,
you're like, hey, what about him?
Maybe he's not maybe he's not old enough. He's about to turn 2.
Oh, I think that's good.
But he's
good.
Super into it. Like, he just, like, loves.
It's stimulating.
A lot of colors.
Wow, it's so funny. Now that you just say that, that's the same reason why I like the supermarket. Because it's just a bunch of shit to look at. And I hate when the fucking labels, you know, I revealed I'm a Virgo, so I like the perfection. And, you know, oh, my God, a Japanese supermarket? Woo! This shit is so properly laid out.
Wow.
Even if you have a local Japanese supermarket in your city in America, check it out.
Check it out.
Because the way they are putting their shit on the shelves, second to none.
All right. Megan.
Yep, that's my plug for the Japanese supermarket industry.
Megan, it has been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
Where can people find you?
Oh, my website's about to be up and running again. It got hacked by a Thai porn company, but I've gotten
Oh, wait,
it
for
back.
Real?
Yeah, for real. I've gotten it back. I've been in a dispute, and it's I now am the proud owner again of MeganGailey.com.
Hell yeah.
So you can go there, or my Instagram's Better Megan Gailey, and my Twitter's Megan Gailey. I'm on the road a lot in the next 2 months. So
how are you spelling that, Megan Gailey?
MeganGailey.
Wow.
That was quick.
You guys all got that, I'm sure. Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the articles and information that we used in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, which, Miles, why don't you tell them what that is?
Okay, so I love this artist called Sevdaliza. She is an Iranian Dutch singer. She's got like this spooky songstress vibe, and I just found out that she put an album out last month, and I didn't know, so I started listening to it this morning. The first track, fucking fever track.
I'm not gonna lie to you guys, sometimes Miles is playing the song that we're gonna ride out on, and you know, it doesn't necessarily jump out at me. This is one of the ones where I was like, yo, who is this?
That's what, how
is
I know, because Jack, yeah. who's this?
What is this?
It sounded like, yeah, this is something you could put a bath on, light the candles to, you know, put your LeVar Ball hoodie on, give yourself
banger.
A pep talk. Yeah,
exactly. A bath banger.
And this is, yeah, Sevdaliza, a new song called Soul Sinkable. And it's just great. It's vibey. You're going to love it.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then.
I'm by the day.